This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It is a beautiful day and a good day to be worshiping together in this time. And it's my joy to welcome you into this time of worship. If you're here in the sanctuary, I'd love for you to take a moment to register your attendance. The registration pads are at the end of each row, if you would pass those down and back again. And if you're worshiping with us over live stream, welcome, and you can register your attendance through the link that's there on the screen this morning. There is also in the bulletin a QR code if you wanted to scan that, and that gives you an opportunity to register your attendance, to share prayer concerns, to make an offering today, and other connections there. So we want to point you in that direction as well. I want to say a special word of welcome to Heart and Soul from Purdue University. These young folks have traveled here to Nashville this weekend, and they are going to help lead us in worship today and then go this afternoon to a watch party to cheer on their Purdue basketball team. We're especially glad to welcome back and welcome home Scott Hines, their conductor, who used to sing here at West End. And so he said he feels like he's back home among us this morning. So you all are in for a treat. And in fact, after hearing them rehearse, I thought, I don't even need to preach today. We could just let you all continue to sing the good news. But welcome. We're so glad that you're with us. Yes, let's welcome them. Yes. A few other announcements as we gather today. Lots of things coming up in the weeks ahead. This Thursday, we are having a blood drive. And this is such an important way to give, to help others. And if you have time during the day on Thursday to come in and give blood, there's a table out in Reed Hall where you can sign up. As of about Tuesday or Wednesday, we had 11 people sign up. We need at least 9 more to show the Red Cross that we can be a good place for them to come and do blood drives. And so we hope we can do that together. So sign up table in Reed Hall for Thursday. Next Sunday in Reed Hall, you are invited to come help stuff Easter eggs. We need everybody's help and anybody who's willing to come by for a few minutes and help with that for the Easter egg hunt that will be the following Saturday on the 23rd. So make sure and mark your calendars. Also next Sunday, we'll have another service of Tezé worship at 5 in the afternoon. And then on Wednesday, March 20th, we want you to mark your calendars and plan to join us for dinner and a gathering to learn more about our partnership with NOAA, Nashvillians Organized for Action and Hope. And we encourage you to come for dinner and that important conversation to learn more about how we can be an active voice and presence in our community. This morning, as we continue to make our way through the instructions of the prophet Micah, to walk humbly with God, to love mercy, and to do justice, we consider what it means to be merciful people and how Jesus calls us to show mercy in our everyday lives. So preparing to hear that word, let us worship the Lord together.
Thank you. Please join me in the call to worship found in your bulletin. God of empathy, we praise you for your love. Let us worship you today with humble hearts.
Inspire our spirits to respond readily to your call and compassion.
Jesus said, "Do not let your hearts be weighed down by the sins and worries of this life, but watch and pray for the grace of God who will save you in your time of trial. With the assurance of God's mercy that delivers us to live a better way, let us confess our sin. Merciful God, forgive us for the ways we have misunderstood your love. Forgive us for the ways we have thought of the church as a self-improvement plan, forgetting your care for the collective. Forgive us for the ways we have neglected to display your compassion to the vulnerable. Lead us to be people who constantly strive for the practice of love. Inspire us to be people who are continually creating spaces for all people to feel welcome. Help us to be people who are collaboratively linking arms with those who are longing to belong. God of glory, create in us an unconditional love for each other. And now, O God, we offer you our individual confessions in silence. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus
Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you.
Thank you.
One of the great joys of the church is the baptism of children. This morning, Blake and Jessica Adams bring their daughter before God and before the community of faith for baptism.
My family in Christ, we have already been so blessed in this time of worship by our friends from Purdue. Thank you so much. And we continue to be blessed to be able to celebrate this holy sacrament in your lives. For through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We're incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. And all of this is God's gift offered to us without price. Blake and Jessica, I ask you now on behalf of the whole church these ancient questions of the faith. Do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? If so, say we do.
We do.
Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? If so, say we do.
We do.
Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in his grace, and promise to serve him as your Lord in union with the church, which Christ has opened to all people? If so, say we do.
We do.
And will you nurture this child in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example, she may be guided to accept God's grace for herself, to profess her faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? If so, say we will.
We will.
And my friends in the congregation, do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? If so, please say, we do.
We do.
And will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include this child now before you in your care? With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround this child with a community of love and forgiveness that she may grow in service with others. We will pray for her to be a true disciple who walks in the way that leads to life.
Let us pray. Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth glorious light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. And when you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you led through the River Jordan to the land which you had promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and she who will receive it, to wash away sin and to clothe her in righteousness throughout all her life, that dying and being raised with Christ, she might share in Christ's final victory. All praise to you, eternal God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
What name have you given your daughter?
Layla Maeve.
Layla Maeve. I baptize you in the name of God the Father who created you, Christ the Son who redeems you, and the Holy Spirit who will dwell within you and be your friend and advocate all the days of your life. Amen. All right, Miss Layla, we're going to invite Mom and Dad and Big Brother and Big Sister and Pastor Will to lay hands on you. And we're going to pray for the gift of the Holy Spirit in your life. Layla Maeve, may the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born through water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all the days of your beautiful life. Amen. She's taking in every word. Okay, Miss Layla, we're going to go take a little walk, and we're going to go see your church family just a little bit closer, because these are the folks who are going to love you really well over these next few years. They're going to show you how much Jesus loves you and teach you how to share that love with other people. Some of them are going to teach you Sunday school. Some of them may be youth counselors, choir directors. Maybe one of these people will be your confirmation mentor even. So let's listen as they make their promise to you.
Will the congregation please open your bulletins to the commendation and welcome stand and face Layla Mabe. Now it is our joy to welcome our new sister in Christ. Members of the household of God, I commend Layla Mabe to your love and your care. Do all in your power to increase her faith, confirm her hope, and perfect her in love. We give thanks for all that God has already given to you, Layla Mabe. We welcome you in Christian love. As members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church. By your prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything, God may be glorified through Jesus Christ.
Please join me in the prayer for illumination found in your bulletin. Awakening God, stir our imagination by the power of your Holy Spirit, that in receiving your word, we might humbly walk toward the new world of mercy and justice you are creating in our midst. Amen. A lesson from the Gospel. Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 to 46. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand and the goats at his left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, "Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me." Then he will say to those at his left hand, "You that are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not welcome me. Naked and you did not give me clothing. Sick and in prison and you did not visit me." Then they also will answer, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you?" Then he will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." and these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I'd like to have a moment with the children. If you are here in the sanctuary and you want to come forward and join me up here, please do. And I know it's spring break, so a lot of our folks are traveling, but if you're traveling and you're watching on live stream, just get a little closer to your screens. And we'll have a special moment together. Come on up. Such a beautiful baptism today. Come on in and have a seat. We're so glad to see you. And wasn't that choir amazing? I bet one day some of you will be in a choir like that. So beautiful. Well, when my children were about your age, 3, 4, 5, 6 or so, I used to take them with me to visit my husband's grandmother. We called her Gran, and she was in her 90s. And we would go and just visit and talk with her. And our kids were really little, and they couldn't cook anything for her, or they couldn't do anything to give her medicines or anything like that. They just came, and they would show her their toys, and then they'd play on the floor, and it made her so happy. She was always so happy to see her great-grandchildren. And all it took was just going to see her. And it made me think about how many ways every day all of us can do things to help other people and to make other people happy. You guys make people really happy. So I think it's a wonderful thing to go and visit people, maybe grandparents or people who could use a visit, or give someone a hug who looks sad. Jesus was talking in the story today about how important it is to help people, and you have lots of ways to help people. So thank you for all you do. Let's pray together. Gracious God, thank you for reminding us that every one of us can do something to help somebody else, to make somebody happy. We can visit, and we can show up, and we can share your love. Thank you so much for these children who share your love so wonderfully. Help us to do the same. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, 3, 4, and 5-year-olds get to go to Children's Church with Pastor Maggie and Miss Molly. And the rest of you can stay and sit with parents or friends. When I was a senior in high school, I had some amazing teachers. One of them was Heath Jones, sitting up there in the balcony. Hi, Heath. Dr. Jones. I didn't even know till later that he had a PhD in Old Testament because he taught me physics. He was in the math and science department. Had this wonderful way of making the most complex ideas in physics understandable to a 17-year-old and making word problems funny. I mean, you could hear us all taking our physics tests chuckling to ourselves. Such an amazing teacher for whom I will always be deeply grateful. One of my other teachers, my senior year of high school, was my English teacher. And I will never forget, it's a little blurry now, but I still remember the last day of classes, before finals, before graduation, when we were all about to move on to that next season of life. And Mr. Young took that opportunity to pass on some wisdom, to give us some final words of wisdom. And he said, you know, you're going on, many of you, to college, or maybe you're going on to get a job. We had one classmate who was going into the Navy. And he said, wherever you go, don't worry about grades. Don't worry about how other people are going to evaluate you or all the awards and certificates you can earn. Do what you want to do. Stay open. Learn for the sake of learning. Fall in love with learning. Stay curious. Ask hard questions. Think critically. You're going to be learning for the rest of your lives, so stay open to that. And that lesson stayed with me. And I thought about, you know, if I were a teacher or a coach, and I had a group of students who were about to move on, what would be the last lesson I would want to teach them? For those of you who are teachers, what do you do with your students on that last day of class? Well, this morning in Matthew's Gospel, we find ourselves sort of in the last class. Jesus is giving his final lessons to his disciples. In fact, in the next chapter opens, the first verse, it says, after Jesus had finished saying all of these things, he reminded him that he was going to be arrested and handed over to the religious authorities and killed. And then immediately those events begin to unfold. So this is it. This is his final lesson to his disciples. Now, the different Gospels give us different accounts. If you look at John's Gospel, his last words are very different. But this is Matthew's account. This is what Matthew wants us to hear in Jesus' classroom on the last day of class. And it's this incredibly powerful story. Some call it a parable. Some call it an apocalyptic drama. I'm going to call it a parable of the sheep and the goats, the last judgment. And as we heard these words so powerfully read to us by James Sewell, their impact was really felt, I think. The Jesus saying in these last moments, if you get nothing else, if you hear nothing else, hear me now, this is what matters. Did you feed the hungry? Did you visit the sick? Did you welcome the stranger? Did you go to see those who were in prison? Out of all of Jesus' teaching, starting with the Sermon on the Mount and all the parables, here he comes to the end, and what seems to matter the most to him was, were you merciful people? For those of you who are worshiping with us for the first time in the season of Lent, the words of the prophet Micah are guiding us. We spent 2 weeks looking at what it looks like to do justice. And now we're into these weeks of considering, what does it mean to love mercy, to be merciful people? And here we have Jesus saying to his disciples in his final instructions, mercy matters. Now, for those of you who worship with us regularly, you're probably tired of hearing me say this, but you've never heard me say this, so I'm going to say this to you. This parable is amazing. It is chock full of so much, and there's only so much time we have on a Sunday morning. So I always encourage everyone to read these texts on your own and to pore over them and to see how they speak into your life. But what I can do this morning in this brief time is just highlight a couple of things that hit me as I studied this parable this week. And I think one of the things that really struck me was how both the sheep and the goats, I guess for you, it's the sheep and the goats, sheep on the right, goats on the left, were surprised by the same thing. They were surprised that when they helped the poor or didn't help the poor, it was Christ they were helping or Christ they were rejecting. When did we see you hungry and give you something to eat? When did we go to visit you in prison and visit you? When did we see you hungry and not do anything? It's as if the goats were saying, well, we didn't know it was you. If we'd known it was you, we might have done something. If we knew that there was eternity at stake, we might have done something. If we knew that it was you who sits on the throne now. Whereas for the sheep, it was, we didn't know it was you. We were just helping people. We just saw people hurting and felt compassion and empathy and had mercy. I've heard over the years, as I've studied this parable and heard sermons and talked about it in church and Sunday school and Bible studies, that sometimes people will say, well, if somebody knocks on your door, you should help them, because you never know. It may be Jesus in disguise. And that's helpful to think about, but what I hear in this parable is, if someone knocks on your door, it is Christ, and there is no disguise. This story seems to be saying that Christ is most clearly seen. God is most closely known and observed in the poor, in the broken, in the vulnerable, in the sick, in the needy. There's throughout the scriptures, this is a theme that we see again and again, that God is drawn near, is on the side of the vulnerable and the poor and the sick and the lowly and the needy. And so, the same is true within us. If we believe that Christ lives in us, where we can find Christ most clearly in ourselves, in those most vulnerable places in ourselves, the broken places, the places we would rather hide from the world, if we move toward those places within ourselves, we might just find that that is where Christ is most palpable. Another sermon that we often hear on this text and that I often think of as I read this story, and I've lost an hour of sleep, so I brought my notes with me. I don't usually do this. But that we should leave this place, this time of worship, and see everyone as a child of God. Go out and see the image of God in each and every person. And we absolutely should, because each and every person is created in the image of God. But that's not always easy. Just to grit our teeth and convince ourselves, okay, I'm going to go look at everyone and treat everyone as if they are a child of God. And I wonder if perhaps we've got it backwards. If perhaps the more we spend time with people in places of poverty, the more we spend time with people who are hurting and broken and vulnerable, the more we will be able to recognize the face of God. Listen to how John Wesley put it. He has a sermon number 98, on just the one verse in this text, "I was sick and you came to visit me." And he talks about, it goes into deep detail about what that means and what that looks like. And he reminds us that that word "visit" in the Greek, as well as in the English, means to look upon. Not just that we sent help, but that we came and bore witness to the suffering of the sick. And here's what he says in that sermon. And John Wesley does not mince words. "One great reason why the rich in general have so little sympathy for the poor is because they so seldom visit them. Hence it is that one part of the world does not know what the other suffers." By the way, I raise my hand. I'm rich. I'm comfortable. I'm not sick right now. I have everything I need and most of what I want, and there's nothing wrong with that. But John Wesley was always warning us that it's so easy to get so comfortable that we begin to separate ourselves from the places of discomfort and from the places of suffering. And so he continually invited those early Methodists and continues to invite us to be in proximity with those who are suffering, for those who are poor, with those who are sick, with those who are imprisoned, with the stranger and the immigrant, to know their stories. And in hearing their stories, then we begin to see the face of God. In the summer of 1995, I was in divinity school, and I served as a part-time chaplain at Grady Hospital in Atlanta for the summer. Now, if you know Grady Hospital, you know that is the trauma hospital in Atlanta. It has four levels in the emergency room: blue, green, yellow, and red. The red zone is where the gunshot wounds were taken. And it was the kind of hospital that saw that kind of trauma regularly. And it was part of my responsibility to go and visit people in their hospital rooms. It was my job. So I was showing up to the sick because it was my responsibility. And I remember visiting with one young man who was younger than I was at the time, but not by much. And I visited him every day for the 2 weeks that he was there. And for several days, he didn't tell me why he was there. I didn't know why he was there. And after about the third day, he finally shared that he was there because he'd been shot in the midst of a drug deal. He said, you know, I don't take drugs myself, but I have younger siblings and my mom works two jobs, and I just found out that I could do it twice a week and make more than I could if I worked for 2 weeks at McDonald's, and now I don't know what I'm going to do. But as I heard his story, he became more and more of a full human being to me. And I began to understand his motivations and his pains and his struggles. And he was no longer a statistic or a person that I could judge from afar, but he was my brother in Christ. We talked about our faith together, and in that connection with each other, Christ was in our midst. And I was blessed. And I got to see in him the face of God. And so, my friends, we hear this invitation to feed the hungry, to clothe the naked, to visit the sick, to visit the prisons. Because in each and every person, there is the image of God. And also because if we allow ourselves to see and experience God in those encounters, we too will be saved. Thanks be to God.
Faith in your bulletin. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life and death and life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. I invite you to take your seats. As we come to this moment of prayer in our liturgy, I invite you to lift up both your silent and spoken prayers and to share with us how we might be in prayer with you. You can do that by following the Contact Us link on our website or by filling out the gray card in the pew in front of you and dropping that gray card in the offering basket here in a few moments. Also want to direct your attention to the prayer concerns in your bulletin that you might be in solidarity with those families and those persons who have listed their prayer concerns, and to live into God's mercy in the practice of praying with our brothers and sisters who need prayer. The Lord be with you. Friends, let us pray. The Lord is merciful and compassionate, very patient and full of faithful love. The Lord is good to everyone and everything. God's compassion extends to all of God's handiwork. God of abounding love, we rejoice that your mercy animates and sustains all of creation. There is nowhere we can go where you are not already at work, stirring up redemption and resurrection. There is no person we could ever encounter who is outside or beyond your love. Seal this truth so deeply in our hearts that we would have the courage to go and be and visit with the people to whom your Son Jesus summons us to in his word today. Draw us near to those in our schools and neighborhoods who hunger and thirst. Might we know the names and the stories and hopes and dreams of the children who go home on Fridays dreading the hunger that will mark the hours till their next school meal on Monday. May we not only fight for their fair feeding, but also champion their gifts and center their stories, that they might be seen not for their lack, but for their fullness. Sustain those who wonder how they can even survive another day. Comfort those whose hours are filled with tears. Assure the sick who are near death with the hope of eternal life. Grant us the patience and presence to simply be with the sick, suffering, and dying, not with answers and platitudes, but as companions in grief and hope. Guard us from seeing the poor as a project to be solved by our own power and resourcefulness. Invite us into a mutuality of love that leads us to sacrifice and share, and also receive and give thanks when the poor offer their resources, their time, and their companionship to us. By the miracle of your mercy, might the poor always be found in the midst of West End, and might they come to know us as good friends. Holy Spirit, so inspire us with the justice of God that we may live with mercy toward our brothers and sisters in prison, visiting them, sharing stories with them, celebrating communion with them. Might the kinship we know with prisoners in places like Riverbend lead us to advocate for an incarceration system that is humane, just, and grounded not in retribution and revenge, but in redemption and restoration. All of this we ask, O God, through the merciful intercessions of your Son, Jesus, our judge and our hope, who is teaching us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Friends, in this holy moment of worship, we have the opportunity to show mercy toward our neighbors and to give glory to God through the giving of our gifts. Might we give this day in response to the God who is always providing abundantly far more than we could ever possibly ask or imagine.
And now as we go from this place, may we be followers of Christ, unafraid to move toward the suffering in our world, unafraid to embrace the brokenness within ourselves, that the grace and mercy of Christ might show through us all the more brightly, and the world might know the saving love and mercy of our God, made known to us on a cross.